The fight over the separation of church and state is playing out again before the U.S. Supreme Court this term. The case of Lund v. Rowan County in North Carolina focuses on whether lawmaker-led prayers should be permitted before public meetings. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich joined a coalition of 22 states asking the Supreme Court to preserve the practice. And with me to talk about the issues in play is Valley Attorney and constitutional expert Robert J. McWhorter. Robert, first, what are the traditional arguments on both sides of the issue of prayer before public meetings?
Well, it kind of fits in two categories. There is a long tradition in America of kind of invocation of prayers before legislative events, public meetings. John Adams commented that he didn't like that there was an invocation in the first Congress because the man of the cloth coming in. There's also a long tradition in America of separation of church and state, and then the creation of a secular government, which was the point of the American Constitution. And those things have always been in tension across history.
Well, and now we're at a stage where even, and I would bring up the example in Scottsdale a year or so ago, related to whether so-called Satanists were going to do the prayer, and then Scottsdale decided to make some changes. Does this become sort of ripe for people deciding to make fun of it to some extent? Because there is sort of that argument as to whether it actually still applies.
Yeah, I don't think the Satanists, before they wanted to make the point, were all that terribly concerned about having an invocation before a meeting. All of this is actually controlled by a 2014 case out of the United States Supreme Court called Town of Greece versus Galloway. And what the Supreme Court said in 2014 with an opinion by Justice Kennedy was, yes, there can be an invocation of prayer before a public meeting, but it has to be non-coercive. In other words, you're not trying to just get people to become whatever and have a pattern of that. Because if you have coercive prayer before a government meeting, that is establishing religion. And it also must be non-discriminatory, which means you can't favor one faith over another, and minority faiths need to have their chance as well. But that being said, you can have a sectarian prayer, and what they had in Town of Greece was kind of a rotating list of clergy. Well, that's what I think the Satanist group wants to come in and say is, hey, we're a minority faith, and you can't discriminate against us. And under Town of Greece versus Galloway, we should be allowed to give our prayer too. And so that's what they're doing. And in reality, I think what they're doing is trying to make a bigger point about the invocation of prayer before all meetings. But that's the hook that they're using.
We've all heard about the moment of silence, the moment of silent reflection, whatever it may be. Why wouldn't that work just as well as a prayer, especially if you're saying that in the case of a prayer, it's not permitted to be coercive in any way? Then what sort of message are you sending there by giving words of a particular faith that maybe the rest of the group doesn't abide with?
Well, see, I think that's the better compromise, is just give people a moment of silence. Now, we need to make a distinction here, of course. We're talking about a governmental function. If you want to have your local club give any kind of prayer you want, that's fine. That doesn't involve the First Amendment to the United States Constitution at all. So, you know, the Rotarians or the Kiwanis Club or any other kind of civic organization, they can say any kind of prayer they want because they're not a government entity. But we're talking about government entities, and that moment of silence, you know, even a hardcore atheist, what can you complain about a moment of silence? We all need a moment of silence before we begin a proceeding. So that's usually, you know, when I've talked to groups and people, that's what I usually recommend is the better course, because then people can do what they need to do from their own personal perspective, and government isn't involved in favoring one religion or another, and still allows a little free exercise of religion there.
How legitimate do you think these arguments are right now, as opposed to ways for people on different sides of the political aisle to raise some hackles?
Do you think anybody in the country worries what happened in the town of Greece, in Greece versus Galloway? I mean, beside the fact that it was an issue in the culture wars, I don't care what happens in all these thousands of little municipal meetings going on or board of supervisors all over the country. It only becomes an issue because people are staking out positions in the culture wars. And there's the position of this is a Christian nation and they want to advance that. And there's the position that we shouldn't have any of that. You know, a lot of this is really about proselytizing. And this is an essential tension when you have freedom of religion, because most people belong to religions that have a tenet of their faith to proselytize, to convert others, to save other souls. And any means necessary is justified to achieve that end. So that bumps up against an anti-establishment clause that says you will not establish religion.
Is this ultimately then about the separation of church and state? Does this sort of case highlight that, or in some ways does it make it feel smaller?
I think the answer to your question is yes. But the point about that is the argument is about separation of church and state. The motivation of the argument is something much deeper, and that what is deeper is this fight about the culture wars and what people's vision are about the society in which they want to live in, but more importantly, in which they believe they live in. And frankly, there are a lot of misconceptions about the First Amendment and what it allows people to do, both in the free speech clause and in the freedom of religion and anti-establishment clauses, that don't conform to what people think it means. And a lot of that is what's going on here and what's in tension. And it plays out in all these cases. And it's a perennial issue that's going to keep coming up. And quite frankly, I think that's good for America, because when we're talking about these things in a forum like the court or any public forum, that's what the framers really intended. This is subject of, you know, matters of public discussion, and they should be matters of public discussion. And that's why we live in a representative democracy.
Constitutional law expert Robert J. McWhirter. Robert, thank you for the time today.
My great pleasure.